You're listening to Noise Extra. I'm Gray Holger, here with my co-host Tara Connolly.
Hello.
And Mike Connolly.
Hello.
And we're back.
We are.
Part two of questions and answers. You know, I was thinking, since we're doing this in two parts, it could have been fun if we asked all the questions in and the first one and then just did the answers as the second part.
This is true.
That would be a suspenseful way to do it.
That would have been really good. But yeah, we're actually all in person right now. We were just going over our plans and we decided, hey, why not record some more? We had a bunch of questions. Why not talk some more to you? Tara, of course, is... It is wild.
I'm making a ruckus.
I have no idea what's going on. I think I'm comfortable.
We start recording and then I realize I'm not comfortable.
It hasn't even been a full minute.
Yeah, it's fine.
It happens that quickly.
That's fine.
How quickly I become uncomfortable.
Dude, it is crazy, Gray. Like this always happens the whole time. Not just when we're recording. This is like before bed. Everything's fine. Everything. And then all of a sudden she's just jerking around.
A lot of commotion in me.
10
Everyone,
minutes.
I have energy.
So
I like the thought of like, you know, people who like wear that, like, what is it called? Hostage tape over their mouth when they sleep so that they breathe through their nose, or like the thought of anybody ever like holding me still. It just makes me want to like explode with panic.
Yeah, definitely. That stuff's crazy.
I don't want my hands to be
the hostage tape.
Yeah.
People use that. I would literally die.
Nope. I'm into these breathe right strips right now, as we were talking about earlier. But
yeah, I mean, those are cool too.
They feel weird, and you look stupid wearing them. Mm-hmm. But
I tried them once. I got a rash.
I'm all about getting good sleep. So
I'm all about wiggling around, getting rashes.
It's
my life.
Yeah, it's definitely
a noise.
It's definitely a thing. Well, hey, great. You played a gig.
Oh God, I did.
That's right, Gray. Right.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Yeah.
How'd it go?
Pretty good. One of my SK1s died on the flight over due to being in a lovely flight case that Matt Purse from Oxen gave me.
That's so nice.
But it doesn't have wheels and my gear was over 40 pounds and it has one of those like handles that hurts your, it's just like a rubber tube over a metal bar.
I hate those.
It really, I was imprinted on my hand. So one of my SK1s died. And Jay from Wig was trying to help me. He actually went home and got a soldering iron and like a whole electronics kit so I could maybe fix it. And I figured out what the problem was after I returned home. So I did perform down one SK1, which was a little, I had a backup plan. I always had a backup plan.
But it's ironic given that you were just professing your love for the SK1 prior to that.
I practiced for like several days with my full setup before packing everything and flying, and it worked fine. It was one of those like, open the case and it doesn't work. And so, yeah. But played with Weapons Envelope, Wig, Scant, and then my new project, Laughing Chance, did its second live performance.
Yeah, very excited about your new project. And we saw the first show here and second show in New York. What are you planning for that project? And what is your idea behind the project?
Let's let the people know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Gosh. Well, some of it crept up while we were working on some of the early sediment stuff. Yeah. I was doing a lot of experimentation with SK1s and processing and more lo-fi and running stuff to tape and just getting a little bit more in that headspace. And I really fell in love with the SK1 and then had a chance to get a second one from a friend. And so getting two of them let me do even more of that kind of like layering and that kind of stuff with it that I really like. And I mean, the easiest inspirations for me to cite are Hands 2 and The Haters, and especially like Hater, like In the Shade of Fire, really a favorite of mine. And so that stuff, just trying to, I don't think it sounds like that. I don't think I could sound like that. That record's too good. But I think that I'm definitely inspired by a lot of the 80s tape stuff, the weird stuff we've been digging into with the podcast, especially. So, you know, the S-Core, the Seed Mouse, the Haters, any of that realm of stuff, any Sound of Pig, you know, era stuff. But then I also had spoken with GX and we talked about the SK1, and he told me that that was something that was used by the Haters back then too. And you can hear it on some of the tapes and In the Shade of Fire, I believe. So that doing something new, doing something with a distinct atmosphere, incorporating some tape loops, some cheap 8-bit sampler loops some prepared tapes. Basically, I'll make a backing tape of some of these sounds and then run it while being able to run more sounds or having two of them, some looping with pedals of that stuff, and a lot of live playing, holding down keys and triggering things and sampling a variety of homemade acoustic devices. Sometimes it's just a chain or some of, you know, my weird coffee cans I've been using, or a dead man's line or a contact mic or any variety of things, you know, wire hangers or the oil barrels outside or any of that stuff, trying to get some of that stuff recorded and sampling it, or even just playing stuff off of a tape I've recorded elsewhere into the sampler and using that stuff. So the first release is finished, but not released yet. And only a couple of people have heard it, and I'm very excited to get it out there. So thanks for asking. Yeah,
absolutely. No, very excited about the project. Excited for you to have something totally new and that you're totally in control of as far as releasing something like a state. Obviously, you're depending on us and Initiation Services to release that stuff. So it's still working with someone else. I love the idea of you having this thing that you're in 100% control of and can build this project to become something new and exciting. So I am very excited about it.
I have plans. There's a lot of stuff recorded. There's also some source material that was sent to friends for collaboration that was sort of in this vein. So it's crept into other projects, but this is my whole expression of my idea of the project.
Exactly. And
I'm really focusing on the things that I like to hear from the sort of stuff I reference. So of course it doesn't, anytime you're inspired by something, I think you have to make it your own. And I don't know any other way to do that. Right. Like I just can't, I'm not good enough to properly copy the things I love, but I can take inspiration from them.
Of course.
And so this is that, those sounds. I hope someone gets it or listens to it that likes those things, that likes this, but it's in no way meant to be a replacement for the things that I love. It's just a,
yes,
my idea of what I'm doing. I don't think I've ever spoken so clearly about my influences on something.
But I think it's great.
New and weird. So
hey,
yeah.
It's all new for you and we are excited.
And you have a solid idea of what you want, and that's great. But I do want to know what was going on with the SK1.
Oh, so you know, you put a lot of heavy shit, including my 12-channel Mackie and pedals and all this stuff in a tightly packed flight case. Mm-hmm. And then you let luggage handlers toss it around on the plane.
It's so nerve-wracking.
And one of the SK1s, I believe, got squished. The circuit board pushed against the inside.
Okay. Oh.
And it bent components down and caused some of them to short out. So plugged in or on batteries, it would turn on, it would work for a little bit, and then it would either turn off or the sample would start to get degraded and glitchy. Mm-hmm. And so when I was there, I couldn't really test that the way I wanted to. I was testing in the green room without it plugged in, so I was using batteries. I thought that maybe the problem was the power plug and something went wrong there. So I tried it with batteries to see if it would work in that way. No luck. And then I started kind of poking around. I checked the capacitors on the power input. I checked kind of anything that looked like it had been broken, leaking, if the circuit board had cracked. None of that had happened. So I just performed without it. Like I said, I'd had a backup plan. Yeah. Able to do a lot of what I want with just one, but having two means I can do a little bit more depth in the layering and the types of sounds I'm using at the same time. And then when I got home, I immediately opened it. I'd left the screws out of it so I could just pop the back off of it. And I just started noticing that some of the stuff was squished and that it seemed to, I could cause it to turn off in New York by twisting it, giving it a little like side to side, like twist or applying pressure. I'm like, okay, something is touching something else here, I think, or something's cracked. And when I'm pressing on it, it's snapping or not, you know, separating and not making contact anymore. So when I got home, I kind of lifted every component that looked like it had been bent over onto itself or touching anything. And it got it working. And it took 5 minutes and I got it working. And then I reassembled the thing and actually made a new track with it. So
wow,
I did get it like fully functional. It doesn't shut off now. I left it on for a good stretch of time. I really like that thing and I will just listen to it, especially running it through things. So I've been doing a lot of experiments running it through different filters and I really enjoy the sound of it. So I let it just sit and play for a long time, seeing like, is it gonna shut off on me? Is it something else? Do I did the temporary fix, got it working for 5 minutes, cool, but no, now it seems like it's really just working. So if that ever happens again, I know what's up.
Luckily. Wow. So don't squish your SK1s. Don't. Everybody get a support bar in your case. That is how I got my first accordion, though. Drunk girl stepped on one is the story that was given to me. I said, that's a pretty accordion. And they told me this tale and I said, can I take it home and unsquish it? And that's exactly what happened. All the pads were squished. And so I just realigned them.
Wow. Yeah.
That is great. You been listening to anything, Gray?
Oh, yes. This is going to sound funny given what I was just citing about my influences, but I've been reading a fair bit lately and listening to Hands 2 Bioelectric.
Nice.
On New
nice.
Forces, very much on the flight to New York. I, of course, listened to Sleep Tones by
Six Ones. Oh, that's past guest. That's so nice.
Because actually, all past guests in your listening.
Yeah. My flight was at 6 a.m. I had to get out to New York. I was only in the city for 24 hours.
It's insane that you did show. That.
Yeah. So Sleep Tones to help me sleep on the plane was absolutely wonderful. And I woke up and kept listening to it.
Awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Coil, Moon's Milk, the Deus reissue, which I was showing you guys when you came over and we had on here, was thoroughly in my ears lately since it showed up. Beautiful. Beautiful job on the reissue by that Deus. Thank you so much.
It's really gorgeous.
Vinyl looks great and the CD box also looks great. So I don't know if you have any interest in that stuff. Also, past guest, Drew.
Hey, right? Look at that.
And Ryan from Deus, of course.
There you go. Look at that.
Really all in the all in the family on this listening. Impermanence of Being by Detonation Day.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Listened to this one a few times, but definitely gave it a re-listen while traveling. Got in my head on it, which was a fun one to enjoy.
Yeah, we really have listened to that one a lot and excited for a new one.
I Hate People by Wendy Weber. I have talked about this record numerous times. I absolutely love it, and it is a weird, beautiful piece of drone, and the second track, a voice collage of repetition. Actually, not like to hear Bill Orcutt do something with the repetition of this B-side of Wendy Weber, I Hate People. But that one, really great, and always a favorite. And then the Matt Gumner Bone, the Gaia Horn and Dream.
Yeah, those got reissued, right?
They got reissued as cassettes. And when you buy the cassette, you get the digital. So I had that on the plane too and was listening to those. So a lot of listening stuff recently. There's certainly more. There's a new SDEM tape out called STEM that I was just listening to earlier today. That's more in the glitchy, we talk about like Otaker.
Yeah.
Otek or whatever. And so something in that vein. Actually, he pulls some of those really watery, warpy, percussive sounds that I love. He has a knack for those. So some of that stuff was really hitting the right zone for me. But yeah, a lot of listening. You know, when you travel, you don't have much else to do. I've also been doing some like meditation, nighttime meditation apps. And it's actually like ASMR, like Creaky Cabin whatever kind of forest ASMR with someone like doing breathing exercises and like describing something to you while you fall asleep.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to improve my sleep as mentioned by,
you should. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Sleep is so important. I mean, we have been really trying to be proactive about sleeping while traveling in Japan. So we, in a bout of paranoia, I just bought a bunch of inflatable pillows because like what would happen if we got there and there's one pillow, as Mike and I have stated many times on home time, the most acceptable number of pillows per adult and a bed, minimum number, 3 per adult. So I require 3 per adult in a bed. So I that is not guaranteed where we are going. So I shall purchase inflatable pillows.
Yeah.
2 under your head, 1 between your knees, or 1 under your head, 1 that you're hugging, 1 between your knees. Minimum, then in that situation, you'd have to like take something out of your suitcase, wad it up, make the other pillow taller or more firm. These are the exact options.
I'll be in Little Tokyo tonight. Maybe I'll get one of those waifu body pillows.
Yeah.
Just take it on the plane with
maybe
me.
Just take
I,
do it.
You know, it has definitely happened. And oh boy, wouldn't that be fun if you were that guy.
What have you guys been listening to?
Well, we've been listening to mostly everything we're going to be seeing here in a bit. A lot of Geo. We listened to, we didn't listen to the entire Geo discography. I mean, that would be a lot, but we listened to definitely a lot.
We had 8 to 10 hours straight of Geo.
Yeah, one day we just sat and listened to Geo
all day.
Especially because while when you think of them, they're an entity like Geo, and you know the sound, but those albums are all different. Mind Control is different than Under Contract, is different than Death Zones, is different than like and Lenny. Like
you can suit a lot of moods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you really get into the different spaces. Like the album that was originally going to come out on Vis-a-Vis, the lost second album, right? The self-titled. That one in the past year or so keeps creeping up to being my favorite. And it is, that one has this very nasty, it's almost the harshest, I would say.
I agree.
Yeah.
Did we have a conversation about this one a while back? Me and a friend of the podcast did go in on this one a while back, because I think we were both listening to it at the same time and discussing some of the tracks from it and whatnot. And yeah, that one, I remember, and this is longtime friends, and especially the Connellys will know this, I can be a little resistant when something comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Even when it's
you
a lost
don't
record.
Say.
And I'm better about that now.
You are.
But that one definitely took me some time to appreciate, especially because it came out after all those years and you had all these more refined feeling Geo releases after that. But I also have been returning to that one.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's nice to just let it ride. Like it's a long one and sounds good.
Yeah, that, and I would say The Truth Will Set You Free is, that could be my favorite.
The said friend of podcast, that's his favorite.
It's absolutely incredible. But just the whole session, then all, not only Geo but Anenzaphalia. It was really gray and rainy here, and that one Noheim with like the it's so minimal with the almost
cello, metal percussion and synth basically is what it sounds like to me. I love that one. That one,
and we have
underrated Anenzaphalia.
We have it on cassette, and we have the auto flip on, and however they did that one, it's almost exact when it ends and flips and goes right in.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally feels like the end of the album goes right into the beginning again. Like it feels almost continuous.
Yeah.
Really incredible. Really incredible.
Did you listen to Death Zones? Did you dig into
Yeah, 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 yeah. Checked out Death Zones. Still need to keep listening to it. The No Suicide Unit is definitely the standout track, which I think was one of the tracks that was on the tipping point.
Right.
But that track in particular, I'm hoping they do. But yeah, so just.
Okay, I haven't even thought about set list for Geo.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Super, super pumped. And then obviously they showed the merch they'll be having there. So obviously we'll be.
Yeah, we're making big merch plans.
We already were sort of deciding, should we maybe just bring like two shirts, because I'm gonna get
Geo shirt. I already know.
And there's gonna be
more. I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, how many shirts could I possibly wear? So maybe I might only bring two or three,
and then just get a bunch.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm thinking. But
yeah,
and how do you choose? I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on those two shirts. Choose wisely.
Well, I went down a shirt size, so I have so many more shirts.
That is right.
Update
the Noise Extra Health Kick has been working, especially for myself and Great Tara. Does not
the
need
gentleman have been in a
in
health
it.
Kick? I'm exactly the same. I'm sorry.
But
I apologize, everybody. I've been maintaining.
Yes.
way more shirt options these days.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Also just still a lot of Third Organ, which I know we mentioned last week. But also, and also things that not that.
What is that one Third Organ that is so brutal that we just listened to again? I'm putting it on the spot. I've been trying to rack my brain and think of the title.
The Pornography Despair, the extra CD. That's what we listened to last night. I'm not sure if it was the extra CD with that. That's what we listened to last night.
It hurts a lot.
It's incredible.
Great.
And then maybe not necessarily stuff we're going to see, but just related in Japanese noise, the Manbrutes, we were going through the box set, yeah. And just staying in Japan. So, just excited in general, but Geo definitely has been the big listen. And then, putting on some Ends of Failure just when you just need a little more.
As you do.
Just need a little more. So really, really
pumped. I think it's the same synth. So
yeah. Really, really pumped. And yeah, I think we're all just amped, but yeah, I thought we'd get to some of these, extra questions and just talk for a little more. You know, obviously we're going to be after this one, obviously we're going to be in Japan and gearing up and getting all that together. So we wanted to just do at least one more to, you know, again, thanks for all the support and thanks for still supporting throughout our little bit of a break. But you know, one I thought was a cool question, and I don't think we necessarily need to, say top five, but just I prefer more of the general favorite cold meat industry releases. So, you know, the question was top five, but I think just in general, what are some that you find yourself coming back to?
This is great because we're just springing this on each other.
We are. This is a totally
impromptu. And we had not reviewed these questions, so totally anything impromptu. We say is just absolutely we're... pulling it out of our asses.
Totally impromptu. We brought our mics over and ambushed and said, while we're planning, let's go ahead and just record. So
yeah, this was a Japan planning hangout, actually, initially.
We had some great plans. I love the plans we have.
Well, we did. We've gotten a lot done.
We planned a lot.
And now I'm so excited for all of us to go see wrestling together. It's going to be
I can't wait. Very, very excited. We are going to be having so much fun. But great. What are some that you find yourself coming back to more? I will say that I have not necessarily been in a CMI zone. I think December was a big CMI zone.
Yeah.
Because it's just, feel winter. Winter, you know?
Yeah.
Well, mine's really easy.
I think we noticed and we did an episode on it.
Yeah.
What, Aghast?
Yeah.
Yeah, Aghast is in my top five. I mean, or top whatever, easily.
Yeah.
MZ-412, Burning the Temple of God, always a favorite. Okay, I liked the mix of black metal and noise and weird industrial on that one. There's lots of great MZ-412 releases. Bread or Death Now, May All Be Dead. There's a ton of great Bread or Death Now, but
that's
May
one
be
you've
dead
been
is
going
a huge
to
one for me that I still really like to return to.
That I mean to return to that one a little more. I mean, I obviously love it. I don't know the last one that we pulled out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, there's some that fall by the wayside. Like, I don't know the last time I listened to Obsessus or some of the later ones. Whereas I spent a lot of time listening to Slaughterhouse, Pain in Progress, Necros Evangelica.
Necros is the one.
Yes, the most.
Might be the real answer, honestly. But.
Yeah, I would say Necros, especially after that one drive we had in the deserted Colorado town that we've mentioned.
It was so
weird.
We were
listening to Necros Evangelica.
Tiny tornadoes of leaves.
Yeah.
And just
ever since that drive,
humans.
That is
so strange.
Been our favorite, Bread or Death Now.
Easy pick, Absolute Supper.
Oh, the comp.
Total classic masterpiece. And, the one that came after it, Aesthetics of Cruelty.
Right,
It was a really great comp, too. Double disc, a lot of good stuff on there. That one turned me on to a lot of stuff. Let's see here. One that I think is maybe an underrated jam that I always put on when I'm in a fun mood is that the Sinticelle Diavoli, the Mortis side project.
Oh, that's so, yeah.
That's
like
harpsichord.
That's on, I think there's a track
music.
On Absolute Supper.
There is. It's Absolute Supper I think it's Absolute Supper. And that one's really good. Enthralled by the Winds of Loneliness, Raison d'Etre.
Yeah, so great. And, I know that they're touring with Bright Death Now, but all Europe, so maybe. Well, we'll see.
Seen that tour a few times, a few times.
Because when it was just Bright Death Now, when we saw him here at Resident, with a friend opening.
2014, they did Deutsche Nepal, Raison d'Etre, and Bright Death Now.
I'd like to see that.
Wait, Deutsche Nepal didn't play, right? He was there,
but
didn't play, right?
Four of those shows that year.
Or no, he wasn't there. I can't remember.
Yeah, Lena was
didn't
here.
Didn't play though, right?
He played MBDN.
Yeah, you're right. But Deutsche Nepal
didn't play. You've seen Deutsche Nepal, yeah?
No.
It's good.
Would love to.
Yeah. It's a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to see that three banger tour four times.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Really,
I remember you
played
that.
Two of those shows and then see two of the other ones, and it was really special. Let's see.
You know, one that we again, it's more of a December holiday era, but Arcana sort of cold meat industries, Dead Can Dance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like neoclassical, but it's great. I love that. I love that stuff. I love that. And I mean, hey, the sub label too, right? We got
Death Factory.
I mean, Pleasures of Death.
Yes.
Slogan.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. Right there.
The Sutcliffe Jugend.
Is that Death Mask?
Death Mask.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. Ask for a top five.
You're going to get a
top 20
bunch.
There's the problem is there's more that is just not on the top.
Mortis, of course. You know, we got that.
Yeah, we're going to kick ourselves in a moment.
Well, that's why I didn't want to necessarily say, like, this is for sure.
This is not a definitive list.
Yeah, this is just more, let's talk about some of our favorites.
Oh my gosh, are you dipping your toe into my territory, which would be a disclaimer?
I mean, you know.
Contains a disclaimer.
Sometimes you have to have one.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. See, this is what happens when you order Equilibrio.
Oh, yeah. That's been listened to a lot recently.
Yes.
Lil Roger, Golden Shower was huge to me. Today I'm Deadly, Story K. Some of those songs are just flawless.
I forgot that when we were going to answer this in the last session. That's what I was saying was a gas in Lil Roger. Oh, that's so
funny. Well, you said
Insider
it now.
Natives Enter it's Now true. The World. Okay. Right? That one's great.
So great. So
God, there's two. I mean, it's classic. Too many
obviously, a
great
classic
records
label is the IRM we did on Cold Meat.
Yes, of course.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Any Project Hot record, but especially Deform Process.
Such a great one.
Yeah, that one.
I mean, look, I think we can just list the discography.
There we go.
We are fans. Obviously, we are fans, but. You know, yeah, it's been a minute since talking too much CMI again. I guess I do associate CMI with fall and winter, and I'm sure we will talk plenty more CMI in the future. But that's a good chunk, I think.
Really top five is like impossible.
I mean, yeah,
no,
we
no,
doesn't
I think
we
we've. I feel satisfied.
I feel satisfied.
This list is very
well. How about moving to another country here with one of the questions? You know, the question again was Mount Rushmore of Japanese noise. Ugh. But again, just some, you know, some.
How many faces can we really put
yeah,
on?
Yeah, but
it?
I guess.
Four.
and then if you want to add.
The plan that never happened, the five.
Yeah, or when I did the Mount Rushmore six. Porn, I got a fifth one because of the, because there was like another little tiny like thing near it. I can't remember why I was allowed five. Because I just kept listing my favorite porn. But I mean. I mean, for me, it'll always be, you know, Merzbound. Again, it's always going to be specific to each person. But I mean, Masana to me is just right there. I mean, I think for all of us, it was Merzbound, Masana. I mean, that was the introduction, and that was how we all just fell into this.
I mean, Mayuko Hino was huge for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Just the. Such an interesting way that she approached it. And I like her story, her output. I don't know. Mayuko is
video.
Yeah. I mean, it would be right there for me.
Definitely. Yeah. And obviously Third Organ, it's all these people bringing their own thing to their noise, where with Third Organ, it's a lot of the tokusatsu and science fiction and kaiju.
Yeah. Totally different.
Put into his stuff. And then even the sound of the titles and the atmosphere. Mayuko Hino bringing the bondage and the sexual element of her into it.
And also the performative aspect, but done in a way that I really respect. And enjoy.
And then Masana bringing his, you know, the pop culture into it, the Madonna, the bell bottoms, the psychedelic, you know, the pop, the psych pop and the 80s pop.
Well, and again, his performance is just being so unbelievably iconic.
It just unhinged. I mean, those to me are some of the absolute greatest for sure.
If it were the three of us doing it by committee, or we each got to pick one and we all agree on one. That's when I read this question, that's how I thought it was.
Do
we each get one and then we all have to agree on one? But ain't no way I'm not putting Yutaka Tanaka as core.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, especially us and how much we've talked about.
But in terms of also like founding fathers vibes, like MSBR, dude.
Definitely.
I mean,
Koji should be on there.
Koji Tano's contributions
cannot
be underestimated.
Is going to be huge. But I agree with the S-Corn, especially being, again, bringing his own. Everyone we're talking about, it's something we've talked about so much, is that unique personality, what you're putting into it. And Askcore obviously is so much its own thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of an impossible question.
Well, of course. Again, it's just more of a...
Can we have to carve it? Can we just have like a shrine?
It's more of just a conversation to enjoy thinking about, you know, these projects. And then you go into some more of the, you know, again, we say later stuff, but it was still obviously 90s stuff like Government Alpha and Killer Bug that were, a little bit after some of the people we've just mentioned. But obviously, they're still originals.
MSBR was just such a huge, after getting into this stuff and discovering the Mertzbos and the Saunas, and I mean, saying that in plural is a fun thing to do. But
the vinyls.
MSBR. And of course, for me, getting to meet him, talk to him, and see the two performances that I did when I did, it was really monumental.
Definitely.
What we're talking about Mount
Rushmore.
The way he linked people together, putting on shows, the welcome, the guest book, the information, like,
and the packaging.
Like, yeah.
It's
one
of those things. But then like,
yeah.
Ob. You know, what's the list? I don't know.
Packaging class of his own. Yeah.
Noise. Basically, it's smaller faces,
we are
more room.
Incredible fans of all of these people. And yeah, go listen to the Noise Forest.
I mean, clearly we are.
Go listen to the Noise Forest episode. I think we pretty much covered almost everyone in that in some way, whether or not it's involved in the design or
go watch Kingdom of Noise. Seriously, absolutely. It's just, two.
And hey, for very modern, someone we're going to be seeing, Linecraft, baby.
Yeah. Oh my God, Linecraft.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm feeling guilty that I didn't mention Junko because, again, really,
there you go. See,
really unique, so cool. But again, there's just so many. Yeah, again.
It's incredible.
Yeah, when you put Hydra Kaiden on there, you got to.
We got a lot of stuff.
You're tapped.
Yeah.
Just throw up all the bust monsters. Yeah.
And then in the Japanese noise realm, we were asked if we would ever do Metal Velodrome, and absolutely, I'd be down to do that. You know, obviously, we have the ideas of the album episodes, not that we won't ever do any again and still do. We've been really enjoying these types of episodes, more of just discussions or, you know, doing something like Noise Forest, which is a comp, so we can talk about a lot of different things. But one thing we really haven't done is a box set, a four CD thing. So that could be a cool challenge and something I would absolutely do, because I do think that is some peak Merzbow.
It's some of the absolute best from the best period, and with some of the best design. The original box is a treasured possession and it looks so awesome. And like, still remember the day I found it used record store.
Was it a record collector or?
Is it Record Time?
Oh, which is it?
On Grash It.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's so cool.
Ouch.
But probably
hurt
someone who bought it at Record Collector and for some reason sold it because they're smooth brains.
Maybe they had two.
Yeah.
Maybe they forgot they got it online. They thought eBay ripped them off.
What?
So they bought a different copy.
I like my version better. I think
it's probably more accurate. I agree.
Yeah. I think that is the classic one. And actually, speaking of that one specifically, when we've mentioned those slowdown releases with all the extra versions and the outtakes.
Well, some of those are
Metal Velodrome.
And
the one that I've listened to probably the most is the Blue Chameleon, which is one that's a Metal Velodrome related one. So that would be a lot of fun to do, almost like a take a look at all of them, take a look at the versions. And we haven't done really a big one like that, because I mean, maybe something we could like work on for 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
And everyone gets, you know, get as much info as we can. And, you know, so that could be a really fun one to do. And to do a really big, massive release could be really fun.
I'm down. We just need a slot time for it. I mean,
I'll just start reading about it in the plane, maybe.
Of listening.
When we're on the plane for 12 hours, we could do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, then, you just start our researching.
Yeah, yeah. Easy. You could, yeah. I was actually thinking about that with the 12-hour for like, what could you do of one thing? And it would be something like you could listen to like...
Watch
like
one of Gray's 12-hour movies that he likes
We could watch that. You could watch that 12-hour, your favorite movie
you
of all time, that's 12 hours.
I
love that movie.
Yes, I love how this has evolved here.
Let's watch it.
Gray's favorite movie is
so
a 12-hour movie that the Connollys don't know the name of.
No.
Nope.
It's like, well, it's a word that I don't understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I haven't taken the time to see what it's saying. Probably got a lot of J's in it.
No J's.
K's? J.
And not my favorite movie. Not even my favorite movie by that director.
Do you love that movie? Is there a P in it?
Probably your favorite movie.
Is there what?
Is there a P in it?
No.
No J, no P.
Nope.
Probably.
K.
It's his favorite movie.
Who knows?
Someone asked if there was any plans for initiation services, reissues, or second runs. Oh. And currently, there's not necessarily plans, but I wouldn't necessarily rule out but maybe in some, you know, other form or something. I will say that
I'd never even thought about it.
Two new releases coming out after Japan, and we'll more info on those later. But
and maybe two more after that.
Well, yeah. Definitely.
Hey, there's another thing to work on the plane. Like, we got so much homework for the plane
there
ride.
There are four releases that are in hand, and the two coming out are our first CDs. I will announce it here. So they're actual real
compact discs CDs. And we have them.
We literally possess them, but we were considering putting them out before Japan, but decided against it and didn't want to rush it and decided to wait till after. So more info on that. But as far as second runs or reissues, it's not out of the question, but currently there's not any exact plans. But I do know ones in mind that I do want to do.
It's like a Coffin Joe film. After Japan, I'll possess your CDs.
Exactly. Oh man, Coffin Joe. I've been thinking a lot about Coffin Joe.
Yeah, we watched some Coffin Joe.
I know. We want to get the box set.
Love him
for sure. Well, I mean, this one we've certainly. I mean, you know, I don't. You know, obviously, we like to talk about the things we love and support and aren't about throwing shade at things. But this has certainly been something we talked about on the episode. I think we can have our answer. Any recordings that we found too much to handle, unlistenable from a noise point of view.
And oh, Half-Cut Cows.
Half-Cut Cows would be that's the one that broke us.
That's what Snow Dilemma.
At Runzelstern.
Wait,
and
that's funny. I was just looking at my notes.
Yeah. Runzelstern, Asshole Snail Dilemma, and the K2 7-inch.
Yeah.
The Runzelstern 7-inch. Yeah. Not hard to listen to, hard to frustrating to play.
Yeah, and then
I did write down Mr. Bungle Disco Volante is so much better than Half Cut Cows.
That's hilarious.
Notes on my phone. That
Terry,
was,
you
I said.
Might actually get, that might be you,
hate mail incoming.
You might actually,
you know what?
Get hate mail.
Come at me. I think Disco Volante is better than Half Cut Cows.
That.
It's true.
I got one for you. It's not something we've talked about. We've talked about the artist numerous times and have much love for, but How Welcome Is Death Die? I Have Nothing More to Do But Die.
Tough like one. Condom. I mean, obviously we love Condom, but that's a very, one. Again, that's more of a, it's truly like this very personal, incredible album that is just hard to listen to. Like that's not even about the sonic anything, the quality. That's more of the absolute atmosphere of that, but it's also because it's so deep.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. So yes, exactly. I know what you mean. And I'm sure there's actually more releases like that where it's like
it's hard to find the right time to throw it on because you can't just casually
93 Sleep Has His House can hit me
I almost can never put that one on. I would almost mark that as one of my favorite current 93s.
It's beautiful.
But every time I think about putting that one on, I'm like, it's too much.
It's a different mood.
So yeah, there is stuff like that.
Especially if you're around other people. Like if somebody tries to talk over, I don't know. She's got to have the right time.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. So as far as that goes, whether it's not a critique, it's more of like, this is actually like too heavy to listen to. I'd put Sleep Has His House and I'd put that Condom on there. Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, I don't do well with things that are, I describe them as herky jerky, like the cut up starts and stops.
Yeah.
So we've talked about it many times, but it's hard for me to be present in the moment because my brain starts wandering and then I'm pulled back in and I don't like that sensation.
Yeah.
We got asked a question here that I don't even know if we were going to answer, but I have a comment.
I'm excited.
A very simple answer. And the question was worst trend. And my answer is all of them.
Yeah. If it's a trend, it's bad.
Do your own damn thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to counter that with best trend. The resurgence of the love of CDs.
There you go. I'm into that. I like your answers for that. I think it's good.
Something that I'm happy is happening more regular in the noise scene now. It is people pressing CDs. The fanning over vinyl releases and the slow, miserable death and price increase of both vinyl and cassette releases. I'm really excited that people are pressing CDs. I still love tapes and I still love vinyl. And
yeah.
But I'm just happy to see that CDs are proliferating the way that they were.
Exactly.
I love that answer. I was going to say I dislike the trend of people walking in front of my car while they're texting on their cell phone.
It's annoying.
Jumping in front of my car while you're texting on like your cell phone. It's really, everybody look alive.
I think I raved about CDs in the last question and answer episode. Anyway,
I mean, it's never a bad time to rave about CDs. We were having a conversation with friend of the podcast's favorite noise CD and all, you know, just in a conversation.
CD, not cassette, CD.
Yeah, just favorite noise CD.
Okay.
One that was thrown out was the Condom on Armed and Loaded. That was one that was thrown out as possibly the
Control Dominance
favorite noise CD. Audio Pathology. I mean, look, those are two Armed and Loaded right there. That's two Armed and Loaded right there.
First thing that came into my head when you said that, Bread or Death Now, Inner War.
Oh, there you go.
With the vellum and the just like simple mass produced packaging done really well. And as not even talking about obscure packaging or anything, but just as an out, like favorite noise CD.
Yeah.
It might be the one that like, I have so many great noise CDs, but that might be the one that like, throw it in my coffin with me. Cremate me, but you know.
C.
How many C's you got?
I got four, and it's Help Me, Mike. My
the
brain
one we did
dying.
The episode on.
Yeah,
Love and Noise.
Love and Noise.
Yeah, that one because it's so strange.
It's so like in my mind, like when I am at Amoeba, looking through the New Age section, like just hoping I see that album that I love
just
it
someone
so much.
Put it in there. And I love how it's dedicated to Manson and Beausoleil.
Yeah, and it looks like so much like a New Age CD.
I would even say the first CCCC with that silver, the cover. Mm-hmm. I would put that up there for sure. Cosmic Coincidence Control Center. So yeah, that I'd put up there. But
yeah, I can just picture like things that when you say noise CD, the ones that I just picture, and I picture the like worn out, scuffed faces of our copies. Like definitely.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Is like my copy of Inner War is beat because it's the one I bought back, back then. Yeah, so it's just hurt, but I still
it's gotten a lot of love.
It. Yeah.
Someone asked about going about finding samples and specifically on the Yellow Gas Flame Satanic Hair Dye. And just the idea of samples, it's going about how you find them and all that. To me, I would extend this to Eroticism, which is your sample heavy project, Yellow Gas Flames being yours and mine sample heavy project, especially in the recent times. It's a matter of just cataloging in your head your interests and the things you watch, whether or not it's documentaries with Yellow Gas Flames or pornography with Eroticism, and just remembering that and being like, oh, that I remember that one. Let's make sure to do it. If you don't it helps write it down or just immediately record
it's
it.
Annoying in the moment to like immediately record.
No, but that's the thing is you need to. I actually have kept a tape deck by the TV at times to just record stuff off the TV when I need it, but I don't go looking for samples. I don't use a lot of samples, but I have in things or even source sounds, but having a catalog, but also just watching the kind of things that inspire you.
It's just automatically going
to
come.
Noting, you need to note the catalog. You need to note when, oh, that's good. And I can see a use for that. Or like, oh, that's the right thing for this thing I'm working on. I think they just hit you generally.
Like you'll hear a sound and you'll be like, oh my God, I love that sound. Like it could be completely only in what you're seeing one time. But you got to get it.
And I will say I do go looking for samples so generally a lot of times, especially just specifically speaking of Yellow Gas Flames, the theme of the recording will a lot of times come before the recording, right? So the idea is like, for example, for the Murder 7-inch, we're going to do Lawrence Bittaker and Roy North. So we know that we're going to do that. We know that's the theme. So then, yes, I will go look for
samples. We listen to news stories.
But then the key is also just attempting to find samples that, again, it can be difficult with especially cases and stuff like that, where sometimes things will have been used. And sometimes using a very recognizable sample, I do like that sometimes. I do think that there is room for that. Yeah. I don't think it's always
no more Jim Jones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just depends. It depends what the theme is.
But the thing is, like, I get why you would want to sample Jim Jones. Yeah. Because Jim Jones speeches are unreal. It's just, like, it's hard to believe sometimes that Jim Jones was like a real person and the things that were said. And there's so many recordings and so many phases of Jim Jones. The music of Jim Jones is so dark and eerie, and it's wild.
I think it just depends on the theme of the release. So yeah, for example, then you start going to look for Lawrence Bittaker stuff, and then you just attempt to, you know, find what's gonna, and then sometimes it is the actual audio, like the cadence of the voice, you know, even sometimes more so than what it's being said, if it's going to fit the track. So there's so many ways to go about it, but ultimately it's your interests and obsessions. And just like you said, Gray, either immediately recording it when it's on or just knowing you have that cataloged in your head, you know, especially with something like Erraticism. Like anytime we watch, you know, something, or you watch a scene or a porn movie, you always are like, okay, that one is definitely Erraticism. When I'm recording, I'm coming back to it.
Yeah. Right? I mean, we do have, you know, that kind of thing where we have to really decide what is what project. Yeah, but generally it's pretty clear.
Well, the porn stuff is also in Yellow Gasoline. So it's like you will call dibs on stuff for Erraticism.
But I would say when choosing samples, like I feel the most confident about things when it's being taken seriously.
Well, definitely.
You know what I mean? Like if you're trying to do something that's hot and dry, put on, you can just look for sounds of desert winds and get that going while you're recording. And it may not be in the specific recording you're doing, but you're establishing that mood, but doing it in all seriousness, you know, like being into your topic and investing yourself in that moment so that you can feel it too, I think. And not just even doing literal samples, like,
sure,
you know, thinking of something that's adjacent to it. Like if you're doing, you know, someone who lives in New England, like what sounds would they hear? What road were they driving on? What was the life that they were immersed in?
Yeah. And also maybe not being, exactly. Or, you know, again, with what we're doing, the idea of making things not always literal, even if maybe it almost seems like it is, it's not, right? So there's other things like that, you know? So
like doing something on Manson and playing the Beach Boys. I don't know.
Well, or doing something on Manson, playing something totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the Beach Boys or Manson stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's almost like it's the setting aside these different things. So there's so many different ways going about it. And again, not even just with the samples, but like we're talking about with the themes, if the theme is going to be, you know, something you can, the sound source or what you're going to use, like you said, the hot winds, you're trying to make a hot track. So you're thinking, you know, so all these things go into it, right?
Hot tracks.
That's the goal, make those hot tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, there's a lot of obviously different, but again, to me, it's just your interests, ideas, obsessions, and the theme, and then just go from there and just catalog in your brain what you think could be used into.
And record it however you can. If you got it, like, great, you got a cassette player, you got your phone, like whatever has a microphone on it. There's so many ways to
manipulate it however you can and cut it up and make it change, you know, these things. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hey, I think we should pop over to Patreon and answer a few more questions for our patrons. And yeah, just again, wanted to just keep saying hi to all of you supporting and answer more of these questions. And again, we really have loved these. So feel free to send us stuff anytime. We can just answer them on a regular episode. Maybe someone chooses us a cool question. We can just answer it anytime. Yeah. So we've been really enjoying doing this. And we'll go pop over to the patron and talk to the patrons a little more. And we will talk to you all soon. Thank you for listening to Noise.
You have been listening to Noise Extra. Noise Extra is brought to you by Chondritic Sound, a home to noise artists for over 20 years, by Verdant Weapons, maker of quality contact microphones and noise devices, and by our Patreon supporters. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/noiseextra, and your support really helps. You can find us on Instagram at Noise Extra, on the web at noiseextra.com, one E in those, and on Twitter at Noise Extra, with three A's at the end. Thank you for listening to us and to Noise.